This message was recorded during the coronavirus lockdown in 2020 by Audacious Church Senior Pastor Glenn Barrett. Thank you for listening to this Audacious Church podcast.
Hey church, welcome to week number 2 in our series, Word to the Wise, Word to the Wise. And we're talking about wisdom. Last week we established what wisdom is and how wisdom builds a strong house. And we all, especially in this season, but in every season of our lives, we need wisdom to enable us to grow and build houses that fill our houses with rare treasures. And it's such an important thing to build our houses on wisdom. This week, however, what we want to do is we want to talk on how to be wise. How do you become this wise person? What does that look like? One of the things that I hate is that I hate not knowing what I need to know, especially when I need to know that which I don't know. And the problem is this, is rarely do I know what I need to know until I end up in a situation where I don't know what I need to know. You know what I'm talking about? I'm sure you relate as well, that challenge of not knowing what you need to know. So how can you know? What I want to do is I want to give you 4 steps to being a wise person. How do you become wise? Next Sunday, we're going to look at how to make wise decisions. And my prayer is that it'll really help you in every major area of your life. How do you make wise decisions? But today, 4 steps on how to grow in wisdom. And we're going to take it from one verse in the Bible. And that one verse is Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17. And it says this, "Pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach." Now, this verse here is the first of 30 wise sayings. And in actual fact, in your pursuit of wisdom, it may be worth reading all of the 30 sayings of the wise. And you can read that in Proverbs chapter 22, chapter 23, and chapter 24. You'll have 30 wise sayings. But today's verse is just the first of the 30 wise sayings. And there are 4 principles for growing in wisdom here. The first key for growing in wisdom is vision. Vision. Have vision. Because it says here at the start of chapter 22, verse 17, pay attention. In other words, don't be so distracted that you lose your focus. Now, how many of you know that distraction in life is a big killer? Distraction will ruin good routines. Distraction can be fatal when you're driving a car or riding a motorbike. We've got to be careful. We've got to pay attention. And the reality is this, is that in our lives, there are many things that would cause us to be distracted. And people live distracted lives, surging from one thing to another, one popular fad way of living to another popular fad way of living, distracted by life's idiosyncrasies. But when you have a vision for life, it by nature causes you to be focused and you are less inclined to get sidetracked and distracted when you have vision. I have a friend who is a multi-millionaire and you really wouldn't know it by the clothes that he wears and the car that he drives. To be honest, the car that he drives is pretty crummy. But the reason it is crummy in many senses is because he's not getting sidetracked and distracted by life's luxuries. He's in a pursuit of the attainment of wealth so that that wealth in turn can become a blessing, not just to his life, but to the life of those in and around his community. And I think it's a really great lesson. We got to, what the Bible says here, pay attention. Choose not to get distracted. When my son was small, we have a bit of a rule in church life that if he wants me, all he's got to do is he's got to come up and just stand next to me if I'm in the middle of a conversation. And when he was little, he just needed to tug on my hand once and that would be enough. But when he was learning the lesson to be patient, that if I was talking to somebody on a Sunday, that in a moment's time I'd find a break and I'd turn to him and give him my attention. My son would periodically, when he was really small, if I was talking to somebody, he'd stand on a chair next to me, he'd grab my hand, my head with both of his hands, and he'd turn my head to him. He was wanting to get my attention. He was wanting me to look at him. Vision means to pay attention. Vision is about not being distracted. Vision is actually a petri dish where wisdom is truly, truly cultivated. Because without vision, you need to be wise. Without a vision, you need to be wise. With a vision, you need wisdom. You need wisdom. And I just would encourage you, you know, when we think about the athletes and sports personalities in our church, wisdom, their vision says they need to be wise in what they eat. You know, for business people in our church who have a pursuit for success in business, vision means they need wisdom. Listen, if you don't have vision, you don't really need wisdom. But when you have vision, you need wisdom. So let me ask this question. What's your vision for your family? What's your vision for your health? What's your vision for your finances, for your church? In order to have vision, you gotta have wisdom. So the first lesson from Proverbs 22:17 in how to be wise is this, is have vision, or if you like, pay attention. But then he goes on here and he says this, turn your ear. And the second key to being wise is to turn. Now, one translation says this, incline your ear. Incline your ear. And it's a fascinating turn of phrase. I remember being in high school and even in primary school, and one of the most embarrassing things to happen if you're a student in school is if you were leaning on your chair, and I'm sitting on a stool right now, but in school, every now and again, you would lean on your chair, and usually a teacher would say, hey, Barrett, the chair has four legs, not two legs. In other words, stop leaning on the chair. But surely and truly, one of the most embarrassing times in school, in class, is when you are leaning back on your chair, even though the teacher's told you many times not to do it, and then invariably, you lean just a little bit too far. Your heart skips a beat. Your legs fly underneath the stool, underneath the table, knock the table over, your books and your pencils fall to the ground, and you fall backwards in a heap on the floor, and everybody laughs. You're embarrassed, you're gonna get a lecture from the teacher, you're in trouble, and all the students are laughing at you. But here's one of the things you know about when you incline, when you lean back on a chair, that when you incline, the reality is this, is you always fall where you're inclining. You always fall the way you're leaning. And I think it's a really good lesson in life. I've never fallen the opposite way to the way I was inclining. You always fall where you incline. Now, Proverbs 22:17 says this, says, pay attention and turn your ear, or if you like, incline your way, lean. I remember over 20 years ago now when Sophie and I moved to England, we'd been in the country about 3 months, and somebody, God spoke to a business person and really challenged this business person to give us his car. And so we ended up with a brand new Volkswagen Golf. It only had about 2,000 or 3,000 miles on the clock. And it was amazing. We were young youth pastors. We had no salary, and yet we had a new car. And it truly was an amazing miracle. One day I was sharing with my cousins this story about being given a car. And they said these words to me. They said, Glenn, you always land on your feet. Whatever you do, you always land on your feet. And here's a question for you. Why is it that some people land on their feet, but other people seem to fall flat on their faces? And I think a little bit is to do with the way you incline. The way you incline can either build your life and break your life. It's a sense where if you fall, you either fall into wisdom or you fall into foolishness. And one of the ways to be wise is to incline into God, lean into God. Lean the way God would have you to lean, because even if you fall, you will still fall in wisdom. You will still fall in wisdom. So here's my question for you. What is your inclination? How do you incline? Do you incline into negativity and foolishness, or are you inclining into faith and wisdom? Because wherever you incline, there you will invariably fall, and you will either fall and land on your feet or you will fall flat on your face. The third thing the Bible's speaking about here in Proverbs 22:17 is this, is it's challenging us to discern. So how do you grow in wisdom? Number one, have vision. Number two, turn or incline. And number three, discern. Because here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 22:17. It says, pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Not just everybody's sayings, but the sayings of the wise. In other words, we've got to have the ability to discern what we're hearing, the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. Now, there are a lot of people saying a lot of things. And certainly even right now with the coronavirus, there's a lot of people saying a lot of different things. And even before this season that we're currently finding ourselves in, there were a lot of people saying a lot of things. And when we come out of the coronavirus again, we will find a lot of people saying a lot of things. But discernment allows us to distinguish between right and wrong, wisdom and foolishness. My wife is Sophia. Her name means wisdom. And she's got a great strength in this. One of her great strengths is her ability to read a situation. That's actually discernment. And I think that what we need in our lives is a natural, intuitive sense of discernment. Right, wrong, wisdom, foolishness. In the previous season series that we did in online church, we talked about the Word of God. And church, I want to encourage you once again that it is the Word of God that we find great wisdom, great knowledge, but also within it, we get a great ability to discern. Watchman Nee once said this, said, if you want to know if something is of God, you have to ask yourself if a particular choice that you're about to make or a particular way of living is going to lead you towards God or away from God. I think discernment is key here. So with any decision you're about to make, will it lead you towards Him or away from Him? We need discernment. Now, of course, the great wise man of Scripture was the great King Solomon. God said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And Solomon said, give me wisdom. We spoke about that last week. Wisdom and discernment. And we have a crazy moment in time for King Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3, where these two mothers come before Solomon and they're arguing over a baby. One mother says, the baby is mine. The other one says, no, the baby is mine. This other mum stole it from me. And King Solomon had to make a choice with which mother got the baby. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, having asked God for wisdom and discernment, Solomon's response to these two mothers was this. Well, give me the baby. I will chop the baby in half. One of you will have one half of the baby. The other of you will have the other half of the baby. And of course, in the story, the mother who had stolen this child, because she didn't have a child anymore, said, that's a great idea. Cut the baby in half. But the mother who was truly the mother of the baby said, no, don't cut the baby in half. Please give the child to the other lady. And of course, in this story, Solomon knew through discernment that the mother willing to save the baby's life, even though she would no longer have ownership of the child, was actually proof enough to Solomon that that was the real mum. That's what you call discernment. And I think in all of our lives, we need to have this at work as well, the ability to discern between right and wrong, good and evil. So we have three keys to living a wise life. Firstly, we need vision. Secondly, to turn, or if you like, to incline. And thirdly, to discern. The fourth way to being a wise person is to apply. Apply. Because it says here in verse 17 of Proverbs 22, pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach. We've got to apply wisdom. We've got to apply it to your heart. In other words, wisdom is not theory, it's action. You know, one of the things that really amazes me is some of the silliest people I've ever met in my life have got multiple degrees. They've done a lot of study, they've done a lot of theory, but as scripture teaches us again and again, wisdom is not theory, it's practice. Wisdom is not just about what you know, but it's about what you are doing with what you know. To apply means to put into action. And church, I am a firm believer that when you put into action that which God reveals to you through Scripture, you end up building a wise life. Wisdom builds a house with deep foundations, strong walls, a roof that protects. Wisdom builds a house with rare treasures. And I believe that together, through putting these four principles at work in our lives, we can build wise houses and wise lives. So four things. We need vision, because the greater your vision, the more wisdom you need. Secondly, turn, or if you like, lean into, incline in a certain direction. If you incline into wisdom, you will fall into wisdom. But if you incline into foolishness, you'll fall into foolishness. Thirdly, discern. That God gives us the ability to discern between right and wrong, good and evil, wisdom and foolishness. And that truly only comes by knowing God and reading the truth of the Word of God. And fourthly, what we need to do is apply wisdom to our lives. Don't just have the head knowledge. Don't just know the theory, but know what it is to apply it to your lives. I think that one of the things that is really important in the journey of wisdom is found in the final part of what Proverbs 22:17 says. Let me read you the verse again. It says, pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach. And I think as we land this message, we talked about four keys. Maybe there's a fifth. And that truly is humility. Humility. Because what wisdom necessitates is this, is that you are humble enough to learn from someone else. It's a really strong man or a really strong woman that reaches out to another and says, I need wisdom. I need help. I need you to stand with me in this season. I'm not alone. I don't have all the answers. Well, Audacious Church, I think that's why our life groups are so important. It's been amazing to see in this season of home isolation, physical distancing from each other. It's been amazing, truly remarkable to see how our life groups are coming together. Life groups supporting each other. Maybe you're a part of Audacious Church and you're not actually a part of a life group. Life groups are where we do community. Life group is where we reach out and connect with each other to find wisdom, to get knowledge. But also, wisdom, life groups requires of us a certain amount of humility, that we give up our time, we give up our attention, and we build community, seek wisdom from others, because the reality is this, no man and no woman is an island. Wisdom is available for you, and it's found in humility. So let me encourage you again, have vision, turn or incline, learn to discern, apply the Word of God, and reach out in humility. Well, Audacious Church, what would it look like for you and I to be a group of people who truly apply these principles and choose to walk in wisdom. I think in walking in wisdom, what we would do is we'd end up building strong houses. I think we'd have marriages and families that are strong. I think our relationships with each other would be incredibly strong. I think we'd see the boyfriend-girlfriend scenarios being strong scenarios and not weak ones. I think you'd find yourself dating the right person, not the wrong person. I think we'd see finances in our households grow, increase, and prosper because we're choosing to be people who are wise. I think in wise living, what we're choosing to do is go against the feeling of the moment, the emotions of a particular moment in time. Wisdom is a journey for the long haul. Emotions are temporary in time. So I encourage you and implore you today, Audacious Church, be wise. And wisdom is truly found in God and through His Scriptures. Please make sure you apply the wisdom of Scripture into your hearts and lives. You know, we take this moment right now and say this, that one of the wisest things we can do is actually connect with God and recognize our need of Him in our lives. Someone once said that humans' greatest need was we needed saving, that if our greatest need was education, then God would have sent a teacher. If our greatest need was healing, then He would have sent a physician. But our greatest need was salvation, and so God sent a Savior. And in Jesus Christ, we have the Savior. We have the one who stepped out of heaven and came to earth. And in coming to earth, He lived, He died, and He rose again in order that we may have relationship with God, not just here on this earth, in this life, but also for eternity. Wisdom starts by acknowledging we need a Savior. And you know something? The reality is this, is that many people look for a Savior in all sorts of things. People look to money to be their Savior. People look to health to be a Savior. People look to their finances and job to be a Savior. But there's only one Savior who won't fail us, and His name is Jesus Christ. And maybe right now you're sitting there, you're saying, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. Maybe you're saying, Glenn, I've looked to other things to be the thing that is my Savior, that fills the void on the inside. But I want you to know that truly, my friend, what you need is a relationship with Jesus. And if you're ready right now to connect your life with the God of heaven who loves you so much, it would be my great joy and privilege to include you in this prayer. If that's you, you're saying, Glenn, please include me in this prayer where I am sitting, then all you need to do is acknowledge this prayer in your heart. You can pray it quietly with me, or you can even pray it out loud. And in this moment, there's going to be a shift as you move from living your life your way and you choose to live your life God's way. He's your God and you're His child. So let's pray this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for this moment. I recognize I need you in my life, and I'm sorry that I've lived my life without you. I ask you, God, to be my God, be my Lord. Help me to live for you. Be the Lord of my life. And even though I still have questions, I thank you that on this journey of wisdom that starts with me connecting with you, I thank you that I'll find answers to my questions, but more than anything, you'll help me to know what it is to live with you at the center of my life. Be my God, be my Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And listen, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, can I encourage you to scan the QR code on the screen in front of you, or you can click on the link there that you'll find, and that'll take you through to our Jesus page, where that'll help you in the journey of connecting your life with the God of heaven and earth, the prayer that you've just prayed. For Audacious Church people out there, I want to take this moment to pray for you that you would build a wise house. So, Father, I pray right now, help every single person in this faith community called Audacious Church to build a wise house. Lord, as we make this decision to have vision, to turn, to incline, to discern, to apply and to live with humility, I pray that wisdom would build strong households. Father, for every marriage, for every family, every individual, for every household watching, may their houses be strong, built with wisdom. In Jesus' name, Amen.
You've been listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com, or join one of our live stream services, 10 a.m., 12 p.m., and 5:30 p.m. every Sunday.